What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
On that championship high, baby. Woo!
My God. The energy is through the roof today, man. Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
You
bringing it all today, baby.
Wow.
I'm like Kawhi in the playoffs.
Well done, well done. Banger in the paint, Rojan Walia, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm happy that we have Steve Ballmer on the podcast.
Yeah!
Man, how was he at that press conference, eh? This guy was just loving life.
I think there's one word, it's called drugs.
No, that dude's just high on life. I think he's like that all the time.
Well, when you have that much money, it's kind of easy to be high on life, you know?
Absolutely.
My God.
Yeah, but we're in July. Like, we haven't even played a preseason game, and this guy's, like, losing it. Imagine him once they make the playoffs.
Yo, he won the offseason.
Yeah, but, like, it's the offseason. Like,
he didn't just win the offseason. He dominated the offseason, man. I'm sorry. When you get the superstar in the league right now, and then, what, a top five player? You're on top of the world.
Well, relax. Top ten.
Debatable. Number three in MVP voting.
Okay, all right. You know
that,
what?
At least.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does. Get out of here.
You would not put Paul George in your top five. Get out of here.
Who would you have? Do it this quickly.
LeBron, Curry, Kawhi, Anthony Davis.
Durant.
I would not put Harden ahead of him because I hate Harden. Who else? Who am I missing?
Oh, Russell Westbrook.
Not Westbrook.
Kyrie Irving. Joel Embiid.
No, Joel, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, you put Giannis in there?
Yeah.
Oh, Giannis. Hell yeah. I forgot about him. Okay. Yeah, Giannis.
Okay, so Paul George is like top seven, top eight.
Jokic too.
Okay, nine.
Lillard.
He's loving that.
Lillard, yeah.
No, I put Lillard.
Okay, Lillard is a better player than Paul George. Let's be honest.
Let's slow down here. Lillard still can't play any defense. Let's slow down.
I haven't seen Paul George carry a team to a playoffs yet in the Western Conference.
Yeah, he doesn't have to. That's not his role. Oh, we're not getting into this. Whatever. Save this for another day.
Another day. Well, we'll bring the energy that Steve Ballmer did.
Woo!
All right, Stevie. Calm down. Today, we are going to do... Let's say it's like a breakdown of the Eastern Conference. We're going to organize teams into tiers, so top... five tiers. Each tier will have three teams, roughly. Obviously, we're all going to differ. Maybe we'll differ. I don't know. But let's just go for it. Raj, who do you have in your top three in the East?
You know what? I think the top three is going to be really similar to what it was last year, but I'm going to have to go with Philly being the number one team in the East. I think Milwaukee's just one cut below, especially them losing a few players. And then to round out the top three, I'm going to put Boston in there. But... that one's a little
Wait,
more of a
that is not
card.
Similar at all, then. Where's the Toronto Raptors?
I said there's one key difference.
Oh, my God.
Hey, this would have been a top three from last year. The Raptors probably exceeded expectations last year.
How dare you slander Stanley Johnson like that, okay?
Okay. I thought you were going to mention Kawhi, and I was like, you forgot about what happened in the last 20 days. But I think I honestly would argue till I die... if anyone disagrees that this is the top three teams in the East.
I don't know if Boston's better than Toronto, man. I'm just going to say it.
You're both wrong. Indiana's in the top three.
Oh, no, no. Indiana's like that cut below just because we haven't seen them. And it's a very competitive second tier, but the cream of the crop is Philly, Milwaukee, and Boston. I think
Hold
they
on.
Still haven't...
We haven't seen Boston do anything. You know that, right? We saw Jason Tatum get hot for one playoff run, for like two series.
Also, let's be clear here. We're talking about the regular season, right? So Boston's defense is going to be absolutely deplorable, both in the regular season and the playoffs. But they have Enes Kanter as their center.
As their starting center.
Let's just think about that for a second. Enes Kanter, the worst defensive big man in the NBA, is starting at center for your Boston Celtics. And you think they're going to be top three seed? I don't know about that.
Yeah, but... but I'm going to say that I feel that Kemba Walker is going to have a year that people actually start considering him as one of the elite point guards in the NBA. Like, I felt like in Charlotte, he was always overshadowed. And he brought a team of absolute nobodies almost to the playoffs. Like, absolute nobodies, and now he's going to actually have a better role players around him, more help in terms of offensively. He's going to be in a bigger market. He has a lot to prove.
Now he's got to carry a bunch of absolute underachievers to the playoffs.
I don't think they're... What was he playing with in Charlotte? Overpaid players?
Scrubs.
That's Scrubs. At least underachievers have an expectation. Like, the expectation in Charlotte was garbage.
Well, I expected them to suck, and they did. And with Boston, I just don't see it. You know, okay, I think it'll be like a top. I think it'll be like a fifth seed. But you know, they got a lot of work out as well. Like, who's going to be the guy on offense? Probably Kemba. But you know, if Jason Tatum wants to get his Kobe on, it's a bit of a difference. You know, could have caused some issues in the play in the regular season.
All right, I'll flip it back to you. So you say Boston's not in there. I think Peter, you agree? Milwaukee.
Yeah, Boston out.
Yeah, Milwaukee, Philly, though.
Oh, yeah, I think the Sixers might actually take the top seed in the East this year. That team is so strong.
Depends on injuries. I think Milwaukee will do it just because they're generally healthier.
Milwaukee's got the continuity, too, and Embiid's probably going to sit more games this year with Horford being able to play center as well.
What if Ben Simmons gets a jump shot, man? Didn't you see those workout tapes with Andrew Wiggins? He's hitting, like, 10-foot fadeaways.
That exact same tapes the previous summer, and he still didn't shoot come it's game one of the regular season.
Yeah, but this is this year. This is now.
I don't see. I like how almost the teams now are trying to go bigger in the starting lineup, though. You got Miles Turner and Sabonis. You got Embiid and Horford. You got some teams in the West going bigger as well. Anthony Davis and Boogie. It's interesting.
It's because they saw it break down the Warriors, man.
You know, bring back the big men, man.
Yeah. And, like, last year, Toronto was at its best when they had Gasol, Ibaka, and Siakam out there, right? That's when they beat Milwaukee?
Against Philadelphia, yes.
Yeah. But that's, I don't know. It's a new trend.
I like that, though. I like how we're going back to, you know, the good old days where we're not going to have to switch and watch ISO every single play. Or hopefully, no, anyway.
Partially, but these bigs still shoot a lot, right?
Yeah, they're more talented, well-rounded bigs.
Yeah.
But you guys are all avoiding the question. Who's that number three team? I hear Indiana. I hear maybe the Raptors.
Yeah, no one's avoiding the question, bro.
Well, that's what it feels like. I feel addressed
it.
But who is it then? Who's the number three, like, the last team in the first tier?
I think it's Indiana, to be honest. I mean, they have some things to work out with Sabonis and Turner, but they were a really good defensive team last year, and they brought in Malcolm Brogdon, who's one of the better defensive guards in the NBA. And then they actually brought in some scoring on the wing for once, something that they really haven't had for years since they had Paul George and, I guess you could say, Lance Stephenson.
Hey, Bogdanovich was nice last year, man.
Yeah, but you also need some depth behind them, too. Like, you're not going to have to play McDermott big minutes anymore because you have... T.J. Warren and Jeremy Lamb was surprisingly good last year. So you actually have some depth on the wing there, and then you can also go small with Warren playing the four, too. So they have some flexibility, and I think they're going to be a good regular season team.
Who's going to start at the three?
I think Jeremy Lamb will.
Lamb and then Warren off the bench?
I think so. I think his best position is to be a sixth man, just to come in, just get buckets.
Yeah. Who do they have at the backup one?
Aaron Holiday.
Oh, right.
They gave him the keys.
Goodbye, Corey Joseph.
Yeah.
And goodbye, Darren Collison. Oh, man. Who saw that one coming?
Yeah, that came out of nowhere, man.
Man, he's going to be that guy ringing on your doorbell that you're just going to try to avoid. Make sure you don't see that shadow,
okay,
you know?
Hold on. Darren Collison rings your doorbell. Do you open the door?
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell no. That dude turned down $10 million to be a Jehovah's Witness.
But that's a good dude, man. Like, he knows what he wants in life. You know what? Like, I know basketball is big for all of us, but, like, at least he knows what he wants. And he did it, like, he was not afraid to do it at a critical part of his life. He didn't ponder it or do it halfway through the season.
He's going to come into your house and talk to you about God for an hour. Do you really want that?
Then I'll ask him about the NBA.
He ain't going to answer that shit. Yeah, he's retired. Yeah.
He's bringing it back, man. He's going to tell you there's more to life than to basketball. Like, I don't know, man. I wouldn't open that door either.
Here, Raj, here's a pamphlet. Join us.
We'll see. If he
join us.
Join us.
It's kind of sad, man. Well, not really. Do your thing.
The guy's 31 years old, man. What the hell?
Yeah.
How does nobody talk about this?
I mean, you just got to respect the man's decisions.
Let him be.
What if LeBron converts to Judaism and just... you know, retires next year. What's Yembe going
to
do?
Wait, why does he have to retire if he converts to Judaism?
What? Can't be over 34 and working.
Where the hell did that come from?
I don't know. I'm just coming with a more extreme example, because who the hell saw that coming? That was crazy.
LeBron refuses to play Friday games anymore because it's the Sabbath.
Yeah, dude.
That'd be wicked.
It's Rosh Hashanah, I'm not playing tonight.
Alright, so we got Bucks and Sixers, 1 and 2. How do we like the Sixers this year?
I actually think that they're better equipped for the playoffs, the first couple rounds anyway, until you got to play Milwaukee, because I still think that the Philadelphia 76ers are one player away. They need a scoring guard, and I think they're going to have to, you know, hunt for one at the deadline.
Yeah, I think they're going to lack a little outside shooting. And obviously Horford and Tobias Harris have proven they can stretch the floor sometimes, but they don't really have that, like, shooting threat that they obviously had with J.J. Redick. I thought they would be on the buyout market to get Kyle Korver. He ended up going to the Bucks, so I agree. I think they're one shooter away, like a Wayne Ellington. We talked about him a lot last year when he was available at the trade deadline. Like, they just need one more option off the bench who's just, like, a three-point shooter.
Where did Ellington go? Do you remember the Knicks?
The Knicks, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a waste.
There's a lot of players on the Knicks you could say that's a waste for, but they're going to trade all those guys by the deadline if they were a smart team, but who knows with the Knicks.
Yeah, God can only tell. All right, I think you've convinced me. I'll take the Pacers as the three spot.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Yeah. I definitely don't like the Celtics at the three, man. I don't know what that team's going to be this year.
I believe the Raptors deserve the three over the Pacers, but...
Wow.
We'll leave that to another day.
No, let's go to the Raptors.
I think the Raptors are going to be a top three seed or top four seed up until the trade deadline where they just go full fire sale.
You think so, eh?
I think they'll hover around that area. I don't know if they'll go full fire sale. If it depends on, like, injuries and all that, but I think the Raptors are the top of the second tier. Like, I'm going to say the top three teams in the second tier right now, and feel free to disagree, but I feel the Raptors are the best team in the second tier. I think the Pacers are right behind them in terms of just, like, talent. Obviously, they've upgraded their team. And then I think the Nets are going to be just in that tier as well. I think basically from 3 to 6, it's going to be very close.
Yeah, I think the Raptors are going to be like the third or fourth seed come February, and then all these teams that are contending are going to look at Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol. Like, the Clippers are the team that's going to get either one of those guys. They're going to find a way to trade for one of those dudes because they have a huge hole at center right now, even though Zubac got his money. I don't think he's a guy that you're going to rely on to be your starting center come playoff time if you want to really contend for a title. So, and you can't rely on Harrell to play that many minutes as a 6-7 center. And I think Lowry is a guy that Philadelphia should go after. I mean, he's a Philly boy, and he'd be the perfect fit there.
Besides Simmons?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He could play off ball, hit his spot up three, sort of like he played with Kawhi. You know, be a secondary ball handler.
Yeah. Good defensively for his size, like, especially if the Milwaukee's the other team. In the East, that's going to be contending. I feel like Lowry had some good success against them.
Yeah, give us Josh Richardson some parts, some first-round picks. We're good to go.
How many years is left on Richardson's contract? Like 2 or 3, right?
Yeah, 2 or 3, I think.
We'll take that.
All right, well, let me call up Masai for you real quick. Let me call up Masai and Bobby. How about that?
Don't need to. Masai is not blinded by the Toronto Raptors being a third or fourth seed come trade deadline because he knows what's up.
Yeah,
I look forward to picking up Chris Boucher on fantasy in February once Marc Gasol and Serge are traded.
That's the ultimate sleeper pick, Chris Boucher.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, wait, question. Do we think the Nets are going to be better than the Pacers?
Hell no.
I think the Nets were a very good team last year, and like they've obviously lost a few players, most obviously D'Angelo Russell. I think you're not going to lose much in like scoring when you have Kyrie there, and I feel like they had a lot of players. If they didn't get injured, I think they were probably going to be the fifth seed.
What?
You know, I could actually see it happening now that I think about it, because, you know, the Miles Turner Sabonis thing doesn't work, and Oladipo doesn't come back until January instead of December, then it's a possibility.
Is he projected to come back in December? I thought it was earlier.
No, it's either December or January, but most likely December.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I heard January, like in 2020, is his expected.
Oh, damn. And then he's going to be awful for the first, like, month or so.
Yeah.
No, that dude's a workout warrior. He'll be fine.
No, man, there's nothing like game shape, though. You know this. You can work out all you want.
What kind of shape he came in last year? I mean, he was next level. That's why his game took off.
Yeah, but he wasn't coming in injured.
I suppose, but I think he's doing like 20-hour workouts. I don't even think he's sleeping right now.
20-hour. Sure, whatever you say, Josh. Whatever you say.
He's a maniac.
What do we? How do we think Gordon Hayward fits in with the Celtics this year?
Better. Can't be much worse than last year.
True. True. But does the offense revolve around him more? That's my question.
No. But really? I like actually him playing with Kemba. I feel like Kemba's more of a willing teammate than Kyrie ever was.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, and I feel that Kyrie had a tendency to dribble the ball a lot and late into the possession start the offense with like 10 seconds or less. Whereas, and I feel Kemba will be a little more like methodical in his approach, more of a traditional point guard. He'll obviously be able to score a ton when he wants. And I think he'll have a good season. I think Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, and Tatum will all have better seasons than they did last year. It's just that big void at center right now. And who do they decide to play at what minutes? Because they have a lot of players that do somewhat similar things. Like all three of those players, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and Tatum, are almost like they play the same kind of style.
I think the better question is who comes off the bench, because you still got Marcus Smart there too, and you would expect him to start next to Kemba so he can guard the point guards.
Yeah, no, that's
point guards.
Yeah, that's exactly it though. Like they have three players that have kind of the same role, and if I'm Danny Ainge, if there's a package to get an elite center, and we're talking potentially Steven Adams, and you can save a bit of money maybe in getting rid of like maybe one of Jaylen Brown or Gordon Hayward, because I think they're very high on Tatum.
I think it would have to be Hayward in that case, but I'm not really sure that OKC would want to make that trade, depending on how many years are left in his contract, because, you know, he had a pretty down year last year. Unless he shows something, it's hard to see them doing that, but you know, Jaylen Brown's going into a year, it's going to be a contract year for him. And if he's the one that's going to be coming off the bench, which it sort of looks like right now, because you would think that Hayward plays a three and Tatum plays the four, and then Brown comes off the bench, you know, is he going to be happy? There could be some chemistry issues there.
He wasn't happy last year already, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that might have been just with playing with Kyrie.
Exactly. Yeah, it's true. I don't know. Yo, Gordy going to OKC might not be bad.
Yeah, it'd be good for his game. Like, they're on the rebuild. I feel like Steven Adams is a commodity, and I don't know how much more upside he has to his game. I feel like Steven Adams has kind of peaked. And I feel that his services could be appreciated in Boston, and they have the void, and they have a lot of pieces there. So that might happen. We'll see. But I think Boston is still one of the better teams in the East, and between 3 and 6, between Boston, the Raptors, Indiana, and Brooklyn, like, I feel like that's going to be, the difference is going to be between 4 wins between those 4 teams.
How much damage can Brooklyn actually do in the East right now? Because without KD, they have a big void at that wing, right?
I mean, they have a lot of scoring in the backcourt, though. And, you know, when Kyrie comes in, I mean, his first year in Boston was great, so his first year in Brooklyn is the same type of year, and they have a lot more talent in terms of the backcourt around him. They're going to score a lot of points this year. Just they're going to be terrible defensively.
Yeah, but they actually have a very nice lineup, and they have, like you mentioned, lots of scoring. Like, we're looking at a team that, obviously, without Durant, they have Joe Harris, Kyrie, Jared Allen. They have Dinwiddie, Taurean Prince, Caris LeVert, who was having an exceptional year before he got injured. And then they have some veterans in the sense of Wilson Chandler, your boy, Peter. Garrett Temple. Like, they have a very good roster. DeAndre Jordan.
I wonder who starts between those two guys, because Jared Allen's better than DeAndre Jordan, but if they signed him with the thought of him starting with Kyrie and KD, you'd think that he'd have to start the year as a starting center.
No doubt DeAndre's going to start, man. You know this.
Well, I think he's going to start, but I think Jared Allen will play more minutes or more important minutes.
Yes, I could see that. I could also see Jared Allen actually playing more towards the end of the year. And DeAndre starting the year like as a starter, obviously.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if DeAndre starts but only plays like 20 minutes and Jarrett comes off the bench and plays 30. Or like 25.
That would, yeah.
Do we think that Kevin Durant starts when he comes back, or is he going to play behind Rodion's corpse?
We'll get there. I don't know. We'll get there.
Did you actually consider that question? It was like, I don't know.
Well, hey, you know what? That was my Academy Award performance.
All right, are we done with this? Can we move on to the mid of the conference?
Tier 3, yeah.
Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon.
This is probably the most entertaining tier in both conferences, but yeah.
All right. So, my list, I have the Heat, the Magic, and the Pistons. Any complaints?
You're going with the same playoffs as last year, eh?
Boring.
I'm sorry, do you see anything different?
Yes, I do.
Please... enlighten me, please.
All right, well, I feel like, surprisingly, I think that Chicago is going to be close to there. Like, the bottom of that tier. Like, I think...
Hey, I called that 2 podcasts ago. Don't steal my thunder.
Hey, you know what? I said it first on this podcast.
No, I said it first.
On this podcast.
How dare you.
All right, I'll let you take it. Take it from here, Josh.
The right. New York Knicks are... going to be a lottery team again. I was so close to saying it. Yeah, the Chicago Bulls are going to make the playoffs this year. I mean, I said it 2 podcasts ago. I'm sticking by it.
Over who?
Your crappy Detroit Pistons. I think Orlando's going to make it. Miami, eh. No, Butler's not going to play half the year. I'm calling that now.
Yeah, he definitely will.
Nah, he's going to be chilling on the beach.
Sorry, coach, can't come. Beach time.
Or he's going to get alcohol poisoning and be out for like 2 months.
Well, that's I hope you put a lot of money on that, Josh.
That's really depressing.
But Chicago has a good team, man. Like, if you look at their starting lineup, you got Satoransky and Thaddeus Young coming in now, 2 adults in the room. And Zach LaVine played really well last year, even though he's not playing winning basketball yet. But they have Otto Porter. And Lauri Markkanen is going to break out this year. I mean, he had a really good year when he finally came back from injury last year. So I think that they can make it work. And, you know, their bench leaves some to be desired, but their starting 5 is pretty good, in my opinion.
You think... Nah. You think this team is better than the Pistons? Nah.
Are you just hyped because you have Derrick Rose now?
Well, yeah, partially. I actually have a point guard now. And, but, yo, have you seen the strides Griffin's made? Like, every year the dude gets better. Come on, man. You're kidding me. You're assuming that Zach LaVine
is such a stale team. Like, Reggie Jackson's still your starting point guard. You lost Ish Smith, man. That's a huge loss.
Yeah, and they got Derrick Rose. Yo, Derrick Rose last year was nice, man.
Yo, call me when he plays 65 games.
I'm sorry, does Lauri Markkanen have a clean bill of health? Is Wendell Carter somehow, like, playing 82 games? No. The Bulls are equally
They're
as
young,
injured.
At least.
So?
Derrick Rose's knees are 65 years old.
Yeah, okay. So is Wendell Carter's game, but that's fine. Like, come on, man. Otto Porter is who you're relying on? Otto Porter?
Otto Porter's a good player. All right, name Detroit's starting two guard. Go.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Kennard? Galloway?
I think it's going to be that rookie last year, Bruce Bowen Brown.
Bruce Brown, yeah.
Bruce Bowen Brown. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I think the Magic are actually going to be the team that falls off.
Wow.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Wow. Yeah, you're wrong.
No, I think Miami is going to be a playoff team. Miami, the Bulls, and I think Detroit's going to be right at the bottom of that tier three.
I just don't think Miami got that much better. I mean, they got Butler, obviously, but their roster is full of just a bunch of guys. I like Bam Adebayo, though. But yeah, the rest of their roster is just like a bunch of guys who don't really contribute that much to winning. And I like Dragic, too, but he's getting old.
Yeah. And I feel that they obviously fixed the problem with Whiteside in their lineup. And I think they have like a little more of a plan going forward. But I still think with Butler, with those players they have, they're probably going to be close to winning like 37 to 40 wins. So I think they'll be pushing for a playoff spot. I think Detroit's going to be in that same category. And I think Chicago will be right there as well.
Detroit also got Markieff Morris.
Will he play?
Blech.
And your Canadian legend, Thon Maker. Oh, yo, Josh, they got your boy Christian Wood. Game's over.
Oh, that's right. Shit, I totally forgot about that.
The game is over, man.
Oh, man. Detroit's going to be a top three seed.
Yeah. Change the whole tiers. It's over.
And they got he might actually top. Take Drummond's spot in the starting lineup.
He should. Andre Drummond is... he should be traded. If someone is willing to take Andre Drummond's $25 million contract, please just take it. I will gladly see that contract walk out the door. My God.
Christian Wood is the most underrated player in the NBA.
So, Josh, you're not wrong.
Damn right I'm not wrong.
Would you take Christian Wood or Andre Drummond for a full season?
Christian Wood.
All right,
call me when Andre Drummond hits a three-point shot.
Yo, he hit a couple at the beginning of the year.
Well, call me when it happens again.
Yeah, why do you think the Magic fall off, Raj?
I just don't think they got any better. I feel that the style they play is not going to be able to put up enough points in the NBA. Like, especially with Vucevic and Gordon being your top scorers. They don't have enough backcourt scoring. Like, obviously, they re-signed Terrence Ross, but they still have DJ Augustine. They still don't have a point guard. I feel that, like, relying on another year where Evan Fournier is going to have to put up like 15 to 20 points a year, it's just not a formula to win in today's modern NBA. Plus, I feel that the other teams are just a little more on the rise, and I don't think Vucevic has as good of a year. And I feel like Orlando kind of took advantage of other teams in the East being very, very bad this year, and they were a playoff team, and they barely snuck in too.
Yo, but they got Markelle Fultz, don't you know? Number one pick.
That's why I'm counting on them not.
And they got MCW. Oh my God. They have two number one picks on this team. How can you doubt that?
We'll see. Come April 15th, you guys will be re-listening to this podcast.
Well, oh my God.
I don't really understand the Al-Farouq Aminu signing, though. Like, he's a good player, but... Basically, you already have, Jonathan Isaac and
Mo Bamba
on the wings, Bamba as well at center, but
it's just like you're too front court heavy. And I love front court players. I just don't like how they fit. Like you're not getting a lot from those players, like as much as you should.
Yeah, I really thought they'd be trading Gordon this offseason and then having Isaac play his natural position at the four. Because, you know, those two guys in the wings are really good defensively. But ultimately, they're both power forwards. And now they bring in another power forward. So they sort of had an offseason equivalent to what the Knicks did. You know, bringing a bunch of power forwards in. It's very odd.
We'll get to the Knicks later, man.
Tier 5.
Do we have to?
Yeah, come on, man. You got to pay respect to the Kazoos.
That means we have to talk about Cleveland too. Ugh.
Let's go. Wait, we're skipping a tier. Let's go to tier four.
All right. I don't know if you guys want to take this on or if you want me to just throw something out for you.
Let's hear it.
Well, originally I had the Wizards, the Bulls, and I don't know, man. The bottom four teams in the East just suck. Let's say the Hawks.
Hey, the Hawks are going to be the best fourth tier team.
Over the Wizards? Over Bradley Beal?
Yeah.
Yep.
Bradley Beal and who?
Yeah, you're right. Dwight Howard?
The Hawks are probably going to be one of the more fun teams to watch. Based on just the roster they built, they have a lot of young players that are, they might not win many games, but they'll be entertaining to watch. And I think they're buying into a 3 to 5 year plan, not a win this year plan.
Well, the Hawks need to go small this year and just play John Collins at center and go the, you know, Phoenix Suns circa 2007 route, where they had Amari Stoudemire starting at center with, you know, Steve Nash at point guard. In this case, you have Trae Young. And just try to score 140 points a game. Start Jabari Parker at power forward and just run the ball up the court. Throw it down.
How much did he sign for? Jabari?
Jabari, I think, is only making around 4 or 5 million a year.
I think 12. No, 12 over like 2 or 3 years.
I think his second year wasn't guaranteed, though. So he has like one of those New York Knicks-esque contracts.
No. That was last year.
It's a 2 year.
He had the 2 year, $40 million. He made $20 million last year, and then team option, obviously, they decided to cut him. So.
Yeah, so you're saying he signed two back-to-back non-guaranteed deals?
I believe so. I think he signed a 2 year, $8 million deal or something like that. Let me check.
Two year, $13 million with a player option.
Oh, player option. Yeah, okay. He's fine.
Interesting.
Yeah, I knew he signed for 12 or 13. I just didn't know if it was 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Whoa. I don't know if you guys still believe in the Hawks because they have Chandler Parsons on this team.
Oh, shoot. How could I forget?
I definitely did not know that happened. How the hell did he get there?
Memphis probably was like, yo, we got to get rid of this cancer and it can't make any waves in the NBA. Let's just drop him on Atlanta. Like, they went through the NBA list of teams and they're like, hey, convenient. Atlanta, take him. Yeah, they also have Allen Crabbe and Evan Turner.
Oh my god. Chandler Parsons was traded for Solomon Hill and Miles Plumlee.
It's pretty amazing how many times Miles Plumlee's been traded based on how terrible of a contract he got. He got like 4 years, $50 million from Charlotte.
Yeah, it's amazing that anyone is able to offset that contract. That's crazy.
It's called Chandler Parsons.
Yeah. True. Chandler Parsons, Mr. 24 million.
Ugh.
Allen Crabbe, 18 and a half.
Atlanta's had a pretty genius offseason, though, as being like a dumping ground for a bunch of terrible contracts that are on like 1 or 2 year deals because they're still rebuilding, obviously, but then they get the first round pick back as well in a few of the deals. I mean, they took on Evan Turner, they took on Parsons, but that didn't include a pick, obviously, but you know, maybe he can actually play a few minutes for them in the Vince Carter role.
How dare you?
What am I doing?
that's crazy talk.
I still think Atlanta's the cream of the crop of the fourth tier.
What if they start Damian Jones at the 5 and John Collins at the 4? Collins is shooting a lot more than he used to, man. Like, last year, he was chucking them up.
As he should be. He's a pretty decent shooter from long range.
Yeah, so what if you have Damian Jones and John Collins? That's a pretty
decent outcome. I want the full speed lineup. I want a bunch of wings with John Collins and Trae Young and just let them go. Off to the races.
Let it fly. Flying V.
Absolutely.
Then call out Flying V as Trae Young starts the break.
Also, I think tier 4 only includes one team. No. I think beyond this, I think the rest of the teams are just trash.
You can convince me that the Wizards are along the same line. I can be convinced.
Maybe.
Like, not as good. I wouldn't say as good, but not as bad as the Knicks.
I think it all depends on Isaiah Thomas, though. I mean, if he comes back and has a good comeback season, because he's going to be the starter at point guard. So if he's really bad... Smith? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But Ish Smith, man, he's getting paid $6 million.
Well, they need those minutes because John Wall's going to play zero.
Yeah. I might consider starting Ish Smith and letting Isaiah come off as sixth man and just go into town like he did in Sacramento. You know what I mean? Let him just beat up on the backups.
I feel like Isaiah really wants that starting role. Like, I feel like that was probably in his contract.
Isaiah can want all he, can desire all he wants, but, man, you're just not that type of player anymore. He doesn't have that explosiveness. His athleticism isn't there. Just gotta work around it.
As basketball fans, though, we have to worry about the Washington Wizards committing another basketball felony this year in playing Bradley Beal so many minutes. I mean, he led the league in minutes last year, and the years before that, he had, 15 stress fractures.
Yeah.
Let's hope that he gets traded to Denver by the trade deadline and he can play less.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I would love that. Can we trade Will Barton for him?
Oof.
Will That's Barton, Porter, and two or three first-round picks.
I like Porter.
He's got to go, man.
Someone else.
Who else do they have?
Okay, what if we just do Paul Millsap for Bradley Beal? Millsap's on the last year of his contract.
And so Washington's definitely going to do that.
Who's their GM now? They might. Oh, it's, what's his name?
Shepard.
Tommy Shepard.
Yeah, Tommy Shepard. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not Ernie anymore, is it? Damn.
No.
Ernie would have done it.
Probably. He loves his power forwards.
Exactly. Yeah, I could be convinced. I could be convinced that Washington makes it. Into, tier four. To not be on the same line as the Cavs? Oh, come on.
Okay, do we want to do Tier 5 before we go to Tier 4?
What do you mean? We just did Tier 4.
Well, there's one more team. We named two teams out of the three.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but I'm going to say one thing, and I want to say it and be the first to say it. The New York Knicks are going to be the top of Tier 5.
So they'll be the 13th seed?
Yeah, they will be the top of Tier 5.
Well, yeah, the Hornets are ass.
Yeah, and the Cavs are right there behind.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's not like a crazy statement or anything, Raj.
They're the top of something. And it's not the lottery pick or anything, but they're the top. Like, they're the best of the best.
They are the top of our made-up tiers. Congratulations to the Knicks.
Progress.
Who had a worse offseason, the Knicks or the Hornets?
The Knicks.
No, the Hornets.
No, get out of here, man. The entire talk the last 2 years was they're going to get Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and they ended up getting, Marcus Morris and Julius.
Hey. There will be no Marcus Morris slander. Marcus Morris Sr. slander.
And they had to actually nab him from one of the best organizations in all of basketball. So maybe they have some secret plan going on there.
Yeah, show some respect. That means that the Spurs wanted him and they couldn't get him. That's how good Marcus Morris actually is.
Big moves. But
they got all these fours because now Ignas Brazdeikis is not going to play as many minutes.
Yeah, he was never going to play. Let's be real.
He's our Canadian brother, man. Come on.
Yeah, he was never going to play. Yo, you shot on Thon Maker earlier, man. Get out of here.
He's not really Canadian.
He definitely is. Played at Orangeville Prep.
For like a year.
Yeah, whatever. They got his picture on the wall.
Man, Brazdeikis owns Summer League. Get that man some minutes.
I'm sorry, did they win Summer League?
It doesn't matter. It's about putting up buckets.
Get out of here. Kevin Knox put up buckets last year, too. Look at him. I love Kevin Knox last year. Damn.
Yeah, but I'm going to say one thing. I think the Knicks actually, obviously, they didn't have a good offseason. Let's remove that from the table.
They were awful.
They didn't have a mediocre, but I think Charlotte...
They were awful.
Charlotte got worse. The New York Knicks didn't get better, but they just picked up contracts that... You know what? You're going to say, they're paying these guys. They have to fill up their salary somehow. They didn't waste any on any long-term deals. And
they missed out on their two max salary slots, right? They told their fans that they were going to get these two max guys, and they end up with a bunch of power forwards.
Hold on. They... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they're going to get some... They should. Now, if they don't, then they definitely lost. But they have value in the players they have because they got pretty friendly contracts. for players that are probably going to be in demand to playoff teams, and they're probably going to get picks.
Yes.
You're giving the Knicks way too much credit.
No, man. This is where they actually got to do the work. Taj Gibson has to go to a contender for picks this year.
What about the last 20 years?
That was the last 20 years.
I mean, yeah, you're right.
So what makes you think that the Knicks are actually going to trade these guys for value? Like, who's going to trade a first-round pick for Taj Gibson? Who's going to trade a first-round pick for Marcus Morris? Come on.
No, someone will trade for Marcus Morris.
I don't think so.
Guarantee.
They will, but they'll probably get, like, 2 second-round picks back, and then, okay, what was the point?
I mean, yeah, it's better than nothing. Like, they could have sat on their hands, or they could have given Julius Randle, like, $30 million.
No, what they should have done is what Atlanta's been doing, and they should have taken back bad contracts for the next 2 years and got first-round picks back for it. Because the way they're going right now, these guys are not worth first-round picks. So what was the point?
But you have to have something in your roster to be able to do that.
Yeah, so trade for Evan Turner.
But they had nothing to trade. They just had the cap space.
You can trade them into the cap.
So what, you just take on Evan Turner?
For nothing? Yeah. For a first round pick.
Absolutely. Teams are trying to get underneath the tax, right? So if you have these players that have bloated contracts the next 2 years, like New York's building up to become a 2021 contender again for Giannis, which they're never going to get him, but they're going to sell this plan to their fans because that's what they do. And they're not going to end up getting him, but at least in the meantime, you can, you know, gather up some first round picks and maybe trade for a player because nobody wants to come to the Knicks.
Okay.
Well, you know where no one wants to go? Charlotte.
Yeah. If Charlotte had the name of the Knicks, you would have said they did like equally of a shitty as a job. Charlotte gave
over the last few years.
Yeah, exactly.
But this offseason, the Knicks definitely had a worse offseason.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, man, you're crazy.
How much is Kenny
Charlotte
Perry
had
making?
No wiggle room. It's how either they sign Kemba or they don't, but, you know.
They didn't even offer Kemba a contract for $20 million.
They didn't even offer Kemba a contract. Come on, man.
The way they handled that situation was garbage, obviously, but you're talking about a Knicks team that expected to sign two superstars and end up with nothing. So I think that Charlotte's fans are not more disappointed than they were at the start of the offseason versus the Knicks, who are just like wanting to kill themselves.
That's because Charlotte has no fans.
Yes. They don't have to sell the plan. They just have to sell Michael Jordan.
No, but the point is, like, Charlotte did themselves in 3 years ago by signing all these big guys to massive contracts. Like, you know, they obviously traded for Bismack Biyombo, but they, you know, obviously signed, Zeller and, who else?
Batum.
From Orlando, Plumlee. I mean, all these guys that, why waste them? Like, they were one of the teams that just blew up their entire cap in 2016 for no reason, besides the fact that Jordan just wants to make the 8 seed. Like, it's not this offseason they messed up, it's the previous offseason.
Yeah, but they signed Rozier to $20 million a year. And now they have a roster of pretty much players with untradeable contracts. And they have absolutely, like, from 1 to 5, they have probably one of the worst starting lineups in the NBA.
I understand what Josh means. Their one big thing was signing Rozier to $20 million and letting Kemba walk.
And,
right?
And you're saying the Knicks, the big thing is they had hopes and dreams of getting all these big things, but I feel overall the Knicks didn't take a step backwards. Like, obviously it sucks, but I felt like the Hornets got considerably worse.
And they were already terrible.
Exactly.
Yeah, but again, you're talking about a team that expected to be in the top 4 seeds or the top 3 in getting Kyrie and KD this year, and they've been building the last few years to do so.
Yeah, I feel like we're arguing different things. Like, the expectations for the Knicks, they had a more disappointing, but I don't think they had a worse offseason.
Hold on, sorry. The Knicks lose. They signed Elfrid Payton and Reggie Bullock.
All right, you know Reggie Bullock best, so I have him on fantasy. You know what?
Yeah, the Knicks lose. I'm sorry.
Just remove this last 5 minutes. My bad.
The point is, the Knicks don't have a plan, and all these players they signed, even though they're like half decent players, they're not going to get anything for them at the trade deadline anyway. So we're just going in circles here.
Yeah.
They might get something for Bobby Portis. Portis might be worth a pick.
Man.
You don't think so?
A Bobby Portis, Julius Randle front court might actually, you know, they might actually be worse than Boston's front court.
Oh, that's a question. Does Julius Randle start or does Mitchell Robinson? Or more accurately, who plays in crunch time? Because Mitchell Robinson's nice, man.
You play Mitchell Robinson.
That dude has incredible defense.
That's a trick question. There is not going to be many crunch time games for the next season.
Well played.
Good call.
Thank you.
Right, do we want to poo-poo on the Cavs? I mean, it's the same roster.
They're not very good. I think, you know what, we're doing pro bono work during the offseason. Like, we're doing all the talk about the Knicks, the Hornets, even the Cavs, so that we don't have to talk about them at all during the regular season.
Yeah, we can just bypass the Cavs, right? I mean, Kevin Love's going to come back this year. He'll put up good numbers.
He will get traded.
Oh, you think so?
Yes.
He's got $24 million for, I think, another 2 years, but I could be wrong.
I think he will get traded this year, if he stays healthy, of course.
I'm not sure where he goes, though, because, you know, of all the teams that he could go to that are somewhat contending, most of them have power forwards. And Utah was the one team that you would expect him to go to, like, last year, but now they have Bogdanovich, so.
Oh, I lied. He has 4 more years at almost $30
million. Oh, Kevin Love? Hell no, he's staying there.
Yeah, dude, that's a massive-ass contract.
I thought he signed a 5-year, and this was year 3, so I thought he had 2 more.
Oh, I know where he's going.
Portland.
He's going to Indiana.
Oh, that'd be nice.
No, he's going to Indiana. He's going to go to Indiana for Sabonis.
Oh, that'd be really nice.
Yeah, that could work.
Because they're going to realize pretty quickly that both Sabonis and Turner are centers, and they want to contend, obviously, and there's the move, because like, a guy like Turner can actually cover for Kevin Love, you know?
Yeah. Rim protect.
And then he can play center when Turner's off the court. So I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Speak that into existence.
Yeah, there that will make Indiana a 3. That will make them the top of the tier 1. Not top of tier 1, sorry. That will.
Yeah. Well, that's how we're going to end this podcast. Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That's a crazy starting lineup, man. Brogdon, Oladipo, Lamb, Love, Turner, and you got a good bench behind them, too. That's a pretty good team.
Yeah, you lost me on Lamb.
And Oladipo's
not going
to be back.
Lamb destroyed the Raptors last year, so he's good in my books.
That's not better than Philly starting 5. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Philly starting 5 won't be able to score in crunch time, though.
We'll see.
Yeah. We're going to end talking about Kevin Love. How about that? Did you think that would happen today?
I also have to say that, you know, Darius Garland and Colin Sexton are going to be the dead man's version of Houston's backcourt, in that they're going to control the ball every single possession. But they're going to be so awful in terms of efficiency, and Cleveland's just going to be a turnstile on defense. They're going to be the second most unwatchable team in the league behind Charlotte.
Yeah, I would agree. Wait, worse than the Knicks to watch? Yeah, the Knicks actually have a prospect.
The Knicks at least have some scoring on their team.
Yeah, they got RJ too. At least it'll be fun to watch. Kinda.
Yeah, he might struggle in his first year though.
They got Kevin Knox?
Yeah, also a terrible rookie, but hopefully he has a better second year.
I like it better when we were gonna end on Kevin Love.
Alright, and with that, let's call it here. I want to thank everybody for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. You can hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.